Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Hottest team in hockey on NBC Sports Chicago tonight. Blackhawks take a 7-game winning streak to Boston to take on the Bruins. It's a Winter Classic rematch. Blackhawks pregame live begins our coverage at the bottom of the hour. Game time at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago and the My Teams app. Meanwhile, baseball season is here. Cubs and White Sox continue to stream into Arizona. They prepare for the 2019 campaign, but plenty of questions remain. Can the Cubs offense rebound from its last season slump, or are they a team actually in decline? Did Joe Maddon lead his team to the playoffs in the final year of his contract? And for the White Sox, the biggest question is the same one we've been asking all winter. Where is Manny? We'll attempt to answer those questions and more today. Sports Talk Live continues. It's week in Arizona once again from Sloan Park in Mesa, spring training home of the Chicago Cubs. Show starts right now. Welcome in to Sports Talk Live from sunny Arizona. Everything brought to you by our great partners at the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. Our panel today, we've got Jesse Rogers, ESPN 1000. Sahadev Sharma, who's one of the foremost baseball experts we get to have on this show. And Tony Andracki. All right, Theo Epstein makes a ton of money to be the face of the Chicago Cubs. And today he demonstrated again why when he met the media for about an hour. I thought he was sensational. Now they have to follow through.
He's always sensational when he's trying to articulate a message, and these were tough messages. The team has to navigate around Addison Russell's situation. The Joe Ricketts emails came up again, and Tom Ricketts will probably address that next week. There was probably less baseball talk in terms of on the field than ever before in an opening press conference. And, you know, he always hits a home run in terms of articulating the message. You may not love the message, but he knows how to at least deliver it.
Yeah, he's very polished when he speaks to the media. He knows how to talk to us. He knows how to get the message across to the fans. And he's very careful with what he says. And these are issues that need that type of handling. You cannot just speak off the cuff. He was clearly prepared. And I feel like, especially with the Addison Russell situation, domestic violence is a major issue in sports right now. It's a hot button topic, and he handled it as well as you can. You may not agree with how they're handling the situation, bringing Addison back, but clearly they've done their homework, and they know that it's not just an Addison Russell issue. This is a baseball issue. This is a sports issue. This is a societal issue, and they're handling it as well as they can. They're talking about how we're not just supporting Addison. We're supporting Melissa. We're getting help for everybody in the organization on how to handle these situations, how to be aware, and to make sure it never happens again. He said you can't ensure that, but you try and make it the safest possible environment that you can.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you could see the emotion as he's talking about this, as he was talking about Joe Ricketts' email, trying to be inclusive for all fans, and he really feels for the fans that, you know, actually question their fandom if they wanted to continue to root for the Cubs or so on after reading Ricketts' emails. Same thing about Addison Russell. But I think with Theo, you actually see this emotion coming out, and as articulating the message like you guys said, but what I found interesting was on Addison Russell, he actually said there were people close to him. He didn't specify who, but some that didn't like this path the Cubs are going down, and yet they did it anyway. So he understands how difficult this is, and yet he's still going forward anyway. I just found that really fascinating.
Cap, you want the first hot take of the show? Because I'm just going to rile it up right here.
Bring it up.
I don't know how anybody can denounce what the Cubs are doing with Addison Russell, and I'll tell you why. Because even if he makes another mistake and he's gone, the good that they're trying to do is going to live on. They're giving money to shelters. They're providing
every employee is going through domestic
training,
violence training.
Minor league employees in uniform and out of uniform. They're doing so much above and beyond Addison Russell. Certainly helping him should be first and foremost, because he's the guy that, you know, did the wrong. Just like I think Joe Ricketts is the guy that needs the educating, not the rest of us. But they're doing so much good, and even if Addison falls, you know, transgresses again, I don't even care, because the results of what they're trying to do is going to live on. I don't see how you can denounce it. Experts say, by the way, a guy in his position deserves a second chance. So
all right, here is Theo Epstein today when he met the media at the Under Armour Performance Center here in Mesa talking about Addison Russell.
I personally think we're doing the right thing. I understand people who are upset and think we should have just moved on. But I can at least pledge to those people that we're taking this on earnestly, that it's important to us, that they're not just words, they're actions, and that I will continue to be transparent with you and with our fans about everything that we're doing to try to attack this problem of domestic violence, and that we will continue to hold Addison to an incredibly high standard, or he won't play a regular season game as a Chicago Cub ever again.
All right, so Theo went on. He was, I think, 4 minutes on that topic alone. And you said he spoke about the Ricketts emails. I mean, he addressed everything and then even got a little bit of baseball in, and we could talk about that in a moment. But I thought, if you're Tom Ricketts, if you're the family, if you're management, you looked and went, okay, we've got the right guy as the front man of our team.
Oh, no doubt about that. I think what I'm not surprised by what we heard today. I'm impressed by Theo Epstein. I usually am. I think what I came away from everything was, okay, now Tom needs to address the Joe Ricketts stuff, and Addison needs to address the domestic violence issues, and not back away from it and do what Theo just did. Handle it properly and not come away where we're saying, what did we just hear?
Okay, so that's my question to the three of you, because Jesse and I did radio this morning and we debated this. For me, this is just David Kaplan. When Addison Russell sits down Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whenever that is, they said it would be before position players report, and he's asked a direct question, I'm Sahad of Sharma, did you strike your wife? I don't want a lawyered up statement that says I made mistakes and I promise, you know, to be a better person. I want a direct answer. Yes, I did, or no, I didn't, and I am working to be a better human being, and here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't want a PR spin.
No, you need to hear contrition. You need to hear what steps are being taken to make become a better person. It can't just be, I'm working to be better, what I did was wrong. That's not enough. We need to hear the words that describe the actions being taken place to make yourself better.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to hear anything about that he's sought out a therapist outside of the mandated stuff, because to me, none of that matters. I mean, you can go to therapy all you want, but if you're not actually talking about the right things and honest with yourself, looking yourself in the mirror, none of that matters. So I'm with you guys. I mean, I want to hear actual honesty. I want to hear why he said that he didn't do anything wrong and he denied it at first and then accepted the suspension and, you know, hasn't fought it or appealed since. I want to hear that more than anything.
Let's be honest, though. Both Tom Ricketts and Addison Russell are not going to be as articulate as Theo, partly because they could never be, and also because it's about them. You know, in Tom's case, it's about his father, but, you know, a blood relation. In Addison's case, he's talking about himself. A little bit easier for Theo, in theory, to step back and talk about those people and those issues. So let's not hold them to the Theo standard, but let's hold them to a high standard. There's no doubt about it. Both guys, in fact, both of them should be.
Well, and Addison needs to show that he's changed in some way. We've talked to him for years now. We know what to expect. We need to, I think the people that have been around him and know what to expect, we need to come away and say, okay, I was a little surprised there, and I'm impressed at least that he's making some sort of step forward, that he's trying to change the person who he was. Theo did not pull any punches. He said he needs to be a better person. He needs to be a better teammate. He needs to be a better citizen. He needs to be a better father. He needs to improve all those things. It's not just one incident. He needs to change his life.
Yeah, he made it clear this contract is not guaranteed, and there is no guarantee. He said, and we're in the bottom of the second inning of a process that will determine if he plays when the suspension is over. Also on the baseball front, Theo did say there might be a few coins in the cushions to maybe add another bullpen arm. What type of an arm? Are we talking a small addition, somebody on a minor league deal? Or are we talking calling up Craig Kimbrell and going, I'll give you 1 year or 2 years for whatever the number
is? Yeah, probably somewhere in between. I think that's the take everybody. But yeah. Somewhere in between. I don't think they have $20 million to spend, but I was a little surprised they had the four. I think they saved a few shekels off the arbitration process. They may have a few left in the drawer. Million to three, maybe, something like that. I'm just taking a stab.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by a major league contract. Yeah. Obviously, there would have to be a move made some fashion to make room on the 40-man. They have a lot of pitchers right now as it is, so how they fit everyone in, what lefties are available, there are some interesting lefties available, that would make sense. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by it. I think this was the plan when they realized how tight the budget was. We're going to have to wait out the market. When they saw that relievers were taking a while, they're like, this is going to work out in our favor. Obviously, they don't get to pick. They don't get the pick of the litter, the guys that they wanted at the very beginning come November. But now it can work out in a sense that they're going to end up with a few arms that provide depth and are semi-reliable.
Yeah, I think really they need a reliable lefty as much as anything. I mean, they have a ton of lefties, but they have, you know, Brian Dunsing, who knows what he's going to do after being injured last year. Mike Montgomery is their sixth starter, you know, jumps right in the rotation if there's an injury. So I think they need these other lefties to help compete with Randy Rosario and other guys. So I would look for a lefty, whether it's on a big league contract or not, I don't know. But so many of these guys around baseball are getting minor league deals that I didn't thought were
they had an
either,
all minor league deal team today that I saw one of the noted baseball writers, and I think Jeff Passan wrote. There were some really good names on there.
But it highlights the fact you mentioned lefties. They have not developed or had a confident lefty for years. Now they've traded, and you know, Chapman being the best name, and sort of mixed and matched.
Lefty,
you know, but
just pitcher.
Yeah,
general.
Right. Pitcher general. But at least they have. You know, Carl Edwards came up through the system. You know, after being traded, they could. Who's the next Andrew Miller, the next Josh Hader, the next, you know, they could use one of those, and they just haven't been able to find one.
Got a homegrown one.
Yeah, homegrown one.
And maybe this kid, Dakota Mekas, becomes something big. Right.
He's strong, a righty.
He throws
right.
hard.
He's a righty.
He throws
Justin Steele's a lefty who's interesting. And we got news that Alzolay's now has taken a step back with feeling pain in his side. That is a little bit of a blow to the bullpen.
All right. Also, the White Sox, where we will be broadcasting live from tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, are getting their players here. They'll officially report tomorrow, do their first pitcher catcher workouts on Thursday. Let's go to Glendale because Chuck Garfine and Vinny Duber are there.
All right, thanks, Cap. And White Sox pitchers and catchers don't report until tomorrow, but Vinny Duber, this clubhouse is like half full here today, not just with pitchers and catchers. A lot of position players were here.
Yeah, it's packed. I mean, I think we spent most of our morning by the batting cages, which goes to show you that, you know, it's mostly hitters here. Obviously, all the pitchers and catchers here already. But, yeah, mostly hitters too, a lot of them. So, yeah.
Yeah, Eloy Jimenez, you had Nick Madrigal, Daniel Palka, Nicky Delmonico. Speaking of Nicky Delmonico, so he posts on Instagram. See right behind us. You can see the World Series championship seasons for the White Sox. What did Delmonico put on his Instagram feed?
He added a few. He went in, used a little Instagram magic, 2019, 2020, 2021. Apparently did a little redecorating up there.
To make a statement like that, after a team goes 62-100, to say, yeah, in 2019 we're going to win the World Series sounds like a crazy idea. He spoke about it today. What did he say?
Yeah, I asked him about it, and he's like, you know, why not? What are we doing here if it's not to have the goal of winning the World Series? And, of course, you're going to hear that at all 30 big league camps this spring, I'm sure. But, you know, yeah, this is he acknowledged it. He goes, when you're coming off a 100-loss season, kind of pissed off a little bit. And, you know, that gives him drive. It gives him motivation. It gives him hunger, to use the word that he said. And he even went as far to say, we think we can take our division, which, again, it's going to raise a lot of eyebrows back home on the south side. But when you look at that American League Central, it's not maybe the craziest thing in the world.
He's not the only person upset about it. The projections, you could say, of what would happen last year and also the projections for this season. Daniel Palka saw the Pagoda projections put together by Baseball Prospectus that has the White Sox winning 70 games. He said, well, it's comical, fires him up. Here's Daniel Palka on the projections of just 70 wins for this White Sox team.
You know, just looking at last year, some of the guys Central lost, and especially the guys we gained, you know, between Nova and all the dudes in the bullpen, those are game changers. And then when you add Alonso and Jay on top of that, I mean, it's ultimately the limit is what we make it. You know, everybody wants to come out with their computer projections, but I find it comical a lot of times. And I mean, what are people projected to do? And then Max Muncy comes out of nowhere, you know, stuff like that. It's stupid to sit there and look at a computer projection. So it just kind of fires me up when I think I saw whatever it was, I don't know the name of it, downplaying us a little bit. I think there's a lot of positives that they've added, and you know, there's still empty lockers in there to fill up. So the more people they add, the better. And you know, we'll see, a lot of free agents left too. So we got a lot to add.
You know, these baseball players are also human beings. So when they see a computer spit out numbers that says this, I mean, I agree with them because you never know what a team has. Who knew that Daniel Palka was even in the major leagues last year, would be in the major leagues last year. He led the team in home runs. So any computer last spring did not even compute a Daniel Palka for this team, and look what he did.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we talked about this on a recent White Sox Talk podcast, these projections, and it's just like, this is a team that has made a lot of moves this offseason. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would say that they're an improved club. So, I mean, to see them kind of right in the same zone that they
were in last year, it
looks like they've got some improvements that you can point to.
Right, and when you lose 100 games the way this team did, it's not like they were going all over the world looking to try to improve the record. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, they were like, this is who we are, this is the plan in a way. Now we get to 2019, 2020, they're not going to allow a 100 loss season to happen. So any computer out there that's going off of what happened last year and projecting this season, I don't think is going to be able to see through the trees. Now, there's this guy named Manny Machado. Have you heard of Manny Machado?
Tell me more. I'm intrigued.
I'm looking for him. I haven't found him. He is somewhere in Miami. Yonder Alonso and John Jay, they probably know where he is. They may know where he's going to play. I don't know. But no one knows what's going to happen. And if everyone's wondering what's going to happen with Manny, it's still a big guessing game.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really kind of the thing that's a cloud almost in a way that's hanging over the opening of Sox spring training here in Glendale is what's Manny Machado going to do? I mean, he's got a decision to make. We know the White Sox have made him an offer, and he's trying to choose between that one and a few other teams that are out there. So the White Sox are going to go ahead with their work as scheduled. And as we've talked about so many times, you know, it's not one guy that defines a rebuilding process. So they've got a lot of work going on that they like to take care of, regardless of where he ends up.
Well, if you're watching this show, that means to me that you are definitely an avid sports fan, and thank you for watching. I'm thanking David Kaplan's viewers, if you didn't notice that.
I see.
And my point being that you have had to deal with a whole lot of noise regarding Bryce Harper and Manny Machado in social media. There's been so much noise, it needs to stop. It won't stop until they sign, hopefully soon. Feels to me like it'll be next week. That's how it feels.
Okay.
Feels to me they're going to make a decision next week when position players are set to report, and then games will be starting soon after that. So that is my take. My not hot take. That's my warm take.
It's a cool take almost.
Okay. Very cool take on Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. So that's going to be a wrap here from Glendale. For Vinny Duber, I'm Chuck Arvine. Cap, back to you in Mesa.
Thanks for looking out for our viewers. Chuckles, it's warm down here in Arizona, but nothing hotter than the Blackhawks. They go for their eighth straight win tonight. They visit the Boston Bruins. We'll preview that matchup, talk about a great night for the Bulls last night. And Sports Talk Live at spring training continues from Mesa, Arizona. Be right back.
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
All right, Blackhawks playing phenomenal hockey, winners of seven straight. They look for number eight on the road against the Boston Bruins, who beat the Blackhawks at Notre Dame in the Winter Classic back on New Year's Day. I don't think anybody saw this coming. Tony and I have a dose of reality for everybody. Their playoff odds are still 15%, so they have got to continue to play great hockey.
What's interesting, I don't know, you don't see that many midseason changes in hockey, I guess, maybe in any sport, but my point is usually a midseason coaching change, at least in baseball, you get that spurt right away, and sometimes you go back. This, right. He implemented new systems, maybe that took a while, and also maybe he had to earn their trust. And now it's all sort of coming together. So it's kind of interesting and sort of bodes well for next year, let's say. A first training camp with a new coach and then a first full season. So this is all good stuff, but I agree with you guys. It's the odds are still pretty low. I don't agree with you. It's the math that tells us that. You know?
Right. Yeah. 26 games left, and by their internal math, they're believing they've got to get to 88 points to make the playoffs, and they're at 55 right now.
That's tough.
Yeah, so. That's a long shot. And aren't they scoring? Don't they have a bunch of guys that are scoring at just ridiculous paces right now that really
Kane,
isn't sustainable?
DeBrincat, these guys have been amazing.
Them making the playoffs or Sahadov's Illini making the tournament. Well, longer odds. What's the longer odds?
Yeah, Illini.
Soon enough, Underwood's got that thing
they
turned around.
They did win a couple good games, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about next year. I'm with Jesse. I said the same thing yesterday. I mean, they really are set up well for next year, but this year it's just not going to happen.
You were on the show yesterday?
Yeah.
Jeez, Cap.
All right, we've got to take a timeout. We'll come back, talk a little bit of Bulls, and Joe Madden's slogan. It's all coming up next.
Slap happy.
for Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle. Crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
You know, I've been working on some stuff. There's one that really stands out to me. It's something I've been thinking about a lot. It's still in the finishing stages, but that is to own it now. And if you think about owning it now, you could talk about ownership as part of the team. You could think about owning the exact moment that you're in, whether it's the at-bat, the pitch, just owning it now. And again, it's a lot of that has to do with the present tense. And if you look at the word now and spell it backwards, it equals one. So if you look at this shirt, we're working on it right now to own it. I want our guys to really understand that. I think our guys do understand that concept. Just a matter of reemphasizing it, really putting it out there, giving it a definition. And a big part of our success this year is going to be the fact that we own each moment. So I thought, own it now. And if you took, like I said, you take the word now and turn it around, it becomes one. And so if you, if we get in the habit of owning the moment, we have a pretty good chance of winning it by the end of the year. So own it now is something I'm going with.
All right, so there's the new slogan. What do you guys think?
I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, he could have just stopped at own it. Like, that's, you could say that. But own it now has that connotation to, it's my last year of my contract as manager. Right. It might be a last year a lot of core players.
It also plays
if they
into
fail.
What Theo said. I don't want to hear about 2 out of 3. Let's set
and,
more
and,
urgency.
And it can play into the Addison Russell situation and the even the Joe Rickett stuff. It's like we have to own all these things that have happened on the field, off the field. I really like it.
Own your mistakes. Own the moment. Yeah. I think the sense of urgency is the biggest thing for me. They've talked so much after they lost about there was no sense of urgency. Javi said it. Lester alluded to it. And Rickett, I mean, Theo came right out and said it after the season ended. So I think that's a big theme that has to be carried out throughout the season. Otherwise, we're going to see another early exit if they even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I like the point Jesse brought up. I hadn't thought about it that way about Addison Russell, but otherwise it's just playing Scrabble with the same thing we've been hearing since November, actually since really even October, that they need to have this urgency, this edge, all of this. It's just a different way to say it. So I like it, but it's just
the
same thing.
I like where Jesse went with the Addison and everything. We've got to own what what's our.
Can I say something real quick, though, about what Sadov said? This urgency day-to-day, like, I'm not buying that they weren't urgent in May and June. To me, they weren't urgent down the stretch in September when they kept on saying, we're okay, we're okay, we're okay, and then all of a sudden they weren't.
Guys, thank you for being here. All right, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, live from Camelback Ranch in Glendale, White Sox camp. Hope you'll tune in. We'll see you tomorrow.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.